Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh Radio special edition called Thursday Evening. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast special edition called Thursday Evening. Is now on the air. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, tape number 44. And we're going to go look for our elder and bring him in. He'll tell you all about the broadcast. And hope he'll be a little long-winded if I can give me some good old hot herbal tea in me. All right, let's see if we find our elder bringing men on the special edition called Thursday Evening. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tills, Yahweh bless you, Seed Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, Seed Israel, Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yahweh the elder. Well, one thing we do know, the box tail been lit, the curtain L went up, so take your time while we try to get ourselves prepared to entertain whatever come along. Take your time. You're on the clock. Elder Mr. Tills, on the international side, they ready to go. The right side, left side ready to go. And up and coming in all ears is Sister B.S. Judah Israel say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to hear me something too. All right, good enough. Take your time, Elder. You on the clock. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And I know many have heard me say that's always a good thing. But we are working together to try to get a lot of people to do many things in this ministry. Just like it says in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Let's see what that says. 35 says, And Yahweh the Son went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogue or churches, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad sheep, having no shepherd. 37. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. 38. Pray ye therefore to Yahweh of harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. You know, that's why we're teaching people the word of Yahweh, so we can get a lot of laborers out there to do the work in a righteous way. Because what do we get in return? It tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. 10 says, for Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we do this on a continuing basis. We do this with an understanding, with precepts. That's why we also say in the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, it says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless have one counselor over 1,000. So when we're doing this, we don't want many people to do the Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8, because we've had that happen quite a few times. It says, answer not before I've heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. Well, when people start hearing the word, they get a little over-anxious, wanting to hear it, and some do not want to hear it. We say in verse 35, chapter 11, verse 35, we have to be willing to hear every Yahweh discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. That's why we go through the precepts and try to teach you about the Bible precepts so you can get a greater understanding. You end up knowing that we all know that there's a history of the world past and the world present, which starts from our birth to our death. Now, those who fail to learn history correctly are soon to repeat it. But those that don't learn it at all, they're simply doomed in this world and the world to come. So we are here in the word of Yahweh, showing you that there's a narrow path for righteousness. That path is so narrow that it is explained to us in 2 Esther chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Let's see what it says about this path for righteousness. 7 says, the entrance, therefore, is set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left deep water. 8, and only one path between them both, between the fire and water, so small that only one man could go there at once. That's right. It's a narrow path to righteousness. No leaning left or leaning right. Only one way to get the word, and that's the way that it should be given. And doing that properly, you find out that a teacher can't learn from his students. You've heard me say this many times, because he's giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, he even gains more experience by teaching. On the other hand, we find that a student can learn from wise counsel, possibly learning one day to teach themselves. And this shows well in all the six camps that teach, because we have to be aware, by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we know that most of us are listening can never get a clear understanding. But Yahweh's ministry makes all this misunderstanding very possible. We know that most things that people see in the Bible, the teaching, some looking can never find. But this is the misinformed. We find they can do none of these things that we can do. This is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And as I said before, we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given that advantage and knowledge to recognize those that camouflage their evil or confused teaching and using overly loud bump the gums contests for righteous learning. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about the Ankwa's Word, learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do all this because you have not. It's the information that you came to seek and now found in the voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address to use this on any search engine in our tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under this big lion, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offering. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful forgiver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and mentioned for us once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also, for building a school, a banquet hall, and radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We even have a calendar. While there, check the calendar, which will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This feature is available during our broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for the voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah, and click the red live button. As soon as it appears, it'll put you right into the live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with the Aqua in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 or 9 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As I've said many times before, you only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, by calling this number, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact us here for your email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. You might imagine he's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and announcing many memos that most of us have seen, and even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our today's program, Catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do this, just enter three words, Yakwa Radio Live. When you click enter, look for Voices of the Trizalites, Tribe of Yadda. Choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. During our normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk. And Pal Talk, you can log in by your phone, your tablet, or computer. Just download the Pal Talk app. When you do that, you'll find we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the Trizalites, Tribe of Yadda. Our room will hold 50 or more listening participants. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discuss during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing as Shotgun. During this time, we'll be taking no comments off-topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But as a continuing reminding note, when we're given scriptures to speak by this ear, be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah, and not that of confusion, as we're reminded of in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, "For Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all covenants of the saints." In doing this, we always keep Yahuwah's scriptures in mind. But you'll find those that try to win at bump the guns contests, they miss all the Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto them, because we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah. So we can start that. We'll pass our program over to us here, Israel, and say, Ha'olu, Yahuwah.
All right, that Elder, hallelujah. Well, I'll spread your books out a little bit, and we're going to have to kind of kick it around until the left side get ready to come on stage. And Sister B.S. Judah Israel, C. Royce, I ain't ready yet, sir. I'm getting ready. I'll be ready. Let me get this name down, Pat. And so I can come on the airwaves and holler in that microphone real soon. All right, so, tomorrow broadcast, like the elder said, come back on at 7:30, on Friday 7:30, and Saturday 2 o'clock. Got it? Good. All right, so we're going to see if we can get something going on.
Knowledgeable of what's going on. Because sometimes the worst fight I find within the black culture is the black culture. They're all fighting amongst each other. Amen? So a lot of times we've just got to have them understand that Yah has a covenant promise for these people. Their covenant promise, even though part of that curse of the Obeah curse, again, they were never cursed people, is that they would forget their roots and where they came from. So when we were in Barbados, I asked the whole crowd, a large crowd there, I asked them a question. I said, how many of you know Moses? And they all raised their hands. I said, so I want to ask you a question. If I asked you this, when you envision this, okay, tell me what color skin he has. Okay, you can see the pin drop in the place in here. What do you think they said? Right. And I said, well, that's interesting. I said, if I ask you the name Joseph in the Bible, what color skin would you say? Now, this is an all-black culture. This is an all-black community. Okay? What do you think they said? Right. Okay? If I ask them, who enslaved you in Africa, who do you think they said? Wow. I told them, you flunked every exam.
So tell me your father, O children, and do accordingly, that you may be safe.
Translators of most most modern Bible's main purpose, invention, plan, and scheme was to literally change and replace the name of the Creator so that no one could truly know his name. This is in direct conflict with truth as found in original or earlier scripture translations, and more importantly,
not appear anywhere in the New Testament. There is no form of them in the New Testament in the original writings in Greek. Yet, these days, the words are sometimes found in worship songs. They pop up in sermons. That should concern you. They aren't New Testament words. They aren't words that were part of any expression of Christianity until recently. Where do the words come from? YHWH, and then a made-up word, made by adding invented vowel sounds and coming up with Yahweh. Sincere but misguided believers have latched onto this word out of the Old Testament, spelled Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in Hebrew. The word occurs more than 6,800 times in the original Hebrew text of the Old Testament. When Jews, the people to whom the Old Testament writings were delivered, come to this word, they don't try to pronounce it. They recognize that the word is a hint of the real name of God. So they say simply, Hashem, which means the name in Hebrew. Why the name? Because to Jews, this word is unpronounceable. If it was meant to be spoken out, then if anyone could have come up with a way of pronouncing it, it would have to have been Jews themselves. But no. Surely that tells us something. Hashem, the name. Isaiah the prophet wrote, "My people shall know my name." What's implied? Jews didn't have a name to call on, but one day they would have. Kind of the usual way of applying a word to these letters for Jews has been to say Adonai. Adonai means Lord in Hebrew. In other words, Jewish practice for centuries before Jesus and during the time of Jesus on earth was to acknowledge that these four Hebrew letters represented the one who is the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who is in control, the one to whom everyone would one day bow. I don't know. This Yahweh business is nonsense. Let's learn from the history of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They turned the Hebrew letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh into English letter equivalents, J-H-V-H, and then added made-up vowel sounds and came up with the word Jehovah. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't deny Jesus, but they've moved their emphasis away from him and onto the word Jehovah, and they've drifted away. They have become an exclusive sect. It's not helpful to make the same mistake, to take the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and use other alternative English letter equivalents, YHWH, and then add made-up vowel sounds and come up with a new word, Yahweh. Surely we don't need another Yahweh sect. Only one name by which we may be saved.
This is not Yah. This is Yah. This is not Ha. This is not we breathe in through our nostrils before we utter the name of the Lord. The reason is the Lord breathed into the first man's nostrils, and as it is written, he became a living soul. Say it with me. Breathe in through your nostrils deeply with me. We'll say it a few times. It goes, Yahweh.
It's the devil's way of masking the character of Yahweh. No one seems to know the proper pronunciation anymore. And, you know, this is the devil's work to destroy all the names, therefore to mask the character. It goes all the way back to around 300 B.C. His name, if you speak his name, you'd be put to death. And so his name began to be erased from the book and from people's mouths and understanding. However, creator of heavens and earth, I knew his name to be Yahweh. Y-H-W-H is Yahweh. Breath thrown in the middle. Yahweh. 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 And Jupiter, whose name could be pronounced Jahweh. I don't get hung up on these things, but I know that his name is pronounced Yahweh. And as far as Jehovah, that's actually Yahovah, because the letter J, you know, people say that Jehovah's been around since 1400 or something like that. I get this information from the Vatican. I don't trust anything from the Vatican anyway, but, you know, that's not possible because the letter J was not introduced into the world until around 1600. And from what I understand, Jehovah was a name that was created by a Catholic monk around 1800. Why use a name that was created almost 2,000 years after Yeshua left the earth? The Father's name is Yahweh. And also, Yahovah, Yah, of course, means Yahweh. But Hovah, if you look it up in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's number 1943 in the Hebrew, and it means chaos, ruin, destruction, and mischief. So Jehovah means Yahweh is chaos, ruin, destruction, and mischief. If that's not a curse on someone's character, I don't know what it is. Yahweh. And
all right, good enough. Yahweh be with you all. Special edition call Thursday evening. Get memos by the daily. A lot of them call and they'll okay. You don't call trying to teach. Just leave your message. And if we can help you, one of the six anointed camps will get back with you. But you can hold up trying to teach and how to pronounce his name and how you got to breathe to do it. See, the name was given to one people. And one people have no problem pronouncing his name. And that's why we're trying to wake up those that got ear to hear. It ain't but one name going to get you salvation. But the world is catching on to it. So what can we say? We'll leave it like that. We'll go and see if we're going to be on stage. But now, Brother Micaiah is on stage. But I noticed that able to go into the computer some kind of way and put his name in here, and Sister B.S. Judah Israel said, how do you get them names in there like that? She wants to know, so we're going to bring our young line in. He gives an illustration on how to get your name up in there, because I see Micaiah Israel. I don't know what that T-R-I-B stand for, but maybe he'll explain everything. Let's see if we can bring our young lion in and see what is he cooking up on take number 44 by saying, when you meet the young lion out of the tribe of Yagdah Judah. Okay, must mean tribe or something. We'll find out more about it. When you meet the young lion out of the tribe of Yagdah Judah, up and come and teach out of Camp 1, Brother Micaiah, Israel, tribe Yagdah Judah, I believe. I let him explain it. He can explain it better than I can. Yakba Bichu S.E. Royal.
Micaiah, Yahweh bless you there, say Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, young lion. Well, I see that you went into the something, so maybe you explain to the national audience on the left side, especially because our sister B.S. Judah Israel said, listen, how do you get them names up in there? So we see you on master that crap. So take your time. Let's talk about that for a minute. Why Sister B.S. Judah Israel is all ears. Come on.
Well, we are a couple of the members and got together, and we are part of the Blog Talk Radio show. We're going to get connected and get invited to the members that's part of the Voice of the True Israel Lights. We're going to send links to one another so we can start setting up and putting our names inside of the devices by using the Blog Talk Radio link that they have to the podcast. So that was one of the things we had up doing. Brother O'Shea, he had set us all up. So I gave it a run today to make sure everything worked out all right. Then we go pass it on to the rest of the members so we can make sure we all on one accord. So that's how we roll in that Voice of the True Israel Light. Hallelujah.
So you saying we running the Voices of a True Israelite, six anointed camp, we running on one accord. Now that's kind of talk I like. But that's the game changer right there. Once we get on one accord, then the Almighty he got no choice but to can you up those see out. Yeah, before we get some Luke 12:12. So once we on one accord there, young man, what do it say in 1 verse 7? Matter of fact, read verse 6 and 7. We just going to throw a couple of little statements in real quick. Verse 6 and 7. And we notice that even our elder, Kilzel, he got elder Tils Israel. I don't see that MR up in there, so I don't know why the MR ain't in there. Elder Mr. Tils Israel with the Y instead of the I. So I see it. It's unfolding for my eyes, but that L could be a MR period, and Israel should be a Y. Oh, there it is. So I don't know who working the keyboards behind all this good stuff, but now, to take that number out of there, and because that MR got to go up, Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel with a Y. So whoever's behind that on hitting them keypads, keep on doing what you're doing. I like what I'm saying. And see, one thing about it, Sister B. Israel, Judah Israel, she said, listen, it don't take much now. All you got to do is explain it one time, and I got it. That's a good thing. See, one thing about it, like the young lion said, it's all about getting in order. Once we get in order, according to the Bible, let's talk about it there, young lion. What it says in 61, verse number 6 and 7 of Isaiah, help to see how why he's struggling trying to get to some Luke 12:12. But what did it say that we can read? You on the clock, come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to read chapter 61. And we want verse number 6 and verse number 7. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 6 and verse number 7 reads, but you shall be named the priests of the Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Yahweh. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, the 17 nations. And in their honor shall you boast yourself. Verse 7. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
Uh-huh. So what we in, that if we do right, according to the Yahuwah, we got us a double coming. That's what it's all about. It's getting that double. Because one thing about when you get that double, that means Yahuwah is zeroing on you, in on you, and all we got to do is get in order. And getting in order, and the best way to get in order is Luke chapter 12, verse 12, beyond line. Brother Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yada, Judah. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
You know, and I believe that, young lion. I believe the righteous spirit will step in there and do his part with you. And so all we got to do is do our part. Remember one thing. It's very important to understand one thing, that a lot of memos came in, but we basically can't get to all of them in one setting, so we're not going to need to try it. Because like I said again, the big dignitaries are Bill Gates, pick a name that can really get the people all moved, and he come up with a name called Fear. He said the most deadliest weapon that will be worse than anything is the old seer. So we're going to name that old seer on this deadly virus that we're going to create, and it will be live and well around about 2025. And the name of it's going to be old seer is taking folks out. Yeah? So they're going to do their thing, and once we get in order, the Almighty going to do his thing. That's all we got to do is get in order. Once we're in order, then Yahuwah going to kick in. So remember one thing. We got to focus in on land school, banquet hall, you know, grow our own food, teach our own kids. We got to have a place for them to come and just get it together. Yeah. Excellent there. We're behind them. Keep passing. Now, to take that I out and put a Y there, you really be working with something. We're behind them. Key pass. Just twisting them key pass. And that's a great thing. Oh, see everything that they're doing. And that's a great thing. No doubt about it. All right. So now, we got that out the way. Did we get it? Give me a little bit more, young line of that Luke. I need me a double shot of that old Luke. So, because I see you all over the place down here. I don't know where you at, but you all over the place right now. So, of Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's try it again one more time. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
Hallelujah. The righteous spirit will teach you. So let's open up with the old seer. Some with the old seer. What he got to say in Ezra chapter 2, verse 42 down to verse 48. We open up with see what the old seer got to say, Ezra, 2nd Ezra 2, 42 to 48. Brother Micaiah, what's going on with that verse? Come on.
All right, we're going over to the book of 2nd Ezra. We're going to chapter 2. We want verse 42, and we're going to read down to verse 48. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 2, verse number 42 reads, I, Ezra, this here, fell upon Mount Yadah Judah, a great people, whom I could not number, and they all praised the Yahuwah with song. 43. And in the midst of them, there was a young man of high stature, taller than all the rest, and upon every one of their heads he set crowns, and was more exalted, which I marveled at greatly. Verse 44. So I asked the ministering spirit, and said, sir, what are these? Verse 45. He said, He answered and said unto me, these be they that have put off the mortal clothing and put on the immortal and have confessed the name of Yahuwah. Now are they crowned and receive alms. Verse 46. Then said I unto the ministering spirit, what young person is it that crowneth them and giveth them palms in their hands? Verse 47. So he answered and said unto me, it is the son of Yahuwah, whom they have confessed in the world. Then began I greatly to command them that stood so stiffly for the name of the Yahuwah. Verse 48. Then the ministering spirit said unto me, go your way and tell my people what manner of things and how great wonders of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, you have seen.
Mm-hmm. So we see the ones that will be getting crowned. Listen to me carefully. The ones that will be crowned by Yahuwah the Son is those that stand stiffly in the name of them four letters. You see, a lot of messages been left about they getting the name right, but understand one thing. The lead tribe that Yahuwah ordained to teach this must stand stiffly in them four letters, because the reward of the four letters is a crown. And what you don't want to happen to you in End Time Prophecy 3:11, Revelation, this is what you don't want to happen to you. Because remember one thing, the game changer, the one that's going to get a crown, is the one that stands stiffly in them four letters, YHWH, not three, not six, not five, but YHWH. Them is the one that will be crowned. So we're making a plan with you. You want to be crowned? You must stand stiffly in the name of the four letters. You got one major organization we read a couple nights ago called the Vatican City. They're going to push, and them, they the head of the Christians. Every Christian, the Vatican City Pope is ahead of. Whether you Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, whatever it is, the Pope of Rome is the head of all that got the title of being a Christian. And he specifically said in the Stalker Documents back in 2089, all my bishops come before me, and one thing, you, all the pastors and the teachers, they can call him any other name but your four letters, YHWH. And that's why you, even your loved ones, they'll get mad at you when you say, No, my sister, no, my auntie, no, my brother. His name is YHWH, Yahuwah. What? See? That's the way it is. So, but you got to stand that spirit is coming all the way from the top. Remember we read in the third book of Enoch, Satan visit the Pope of Rome every day. And he always reminded him, is anybody talking that name? Or even one talking that name? That's the six anointed camps called the two Israelites. Well, how are we going to get to them? I don't know. We shot a whole lot of shots at him. As a matter of fact, we named a disease after the seer that can come up in 2025 that Bill Gates going to muster the battle and spread all over the world, and it's going to be called seer. That was a disease going to be called seer. That might get them all shaky. See? We trying everything. What can we try? But see, what they don't understand that is written in Isaiah 54:17, young line. See, something written in Isaiah 54, verse 17. Can you help those see out? What's written that we can read?
We're going over to the book of Isaiah. We're going to read chapter 54, and we're going to read verse number 17. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17, and it reads, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahuwah, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahuwah.
This is the heritage of his servants. See, if you serve him, this is your inheritance. And he made it plain that we can read, young line, in 2 verse 10 of Sirach. He made it plain that we can read Sirach 2:10. Something he said that really kind of, you know, that we need to we always be clear about it and know how to reach them scriptures when you feel that you're in an inchy-pinchy mode. But he got something written in the book of Sirach there, young line of 2, verse number 10. Can you help those see out what he got written that we can read all together? Come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse number 10. Verse number 10 reads, look at the generations of old and see, did ever any trust in the Yahuwah and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise that called upon him? Yahuwah.
You see, he said now, he said, check his track record. See, you like to go on your computers and that one out Satan telephone and ask questions. Ask, see, is it anywhere written when they had their Yahuwah right, they came up confounded in anything. See, when you got your Yahuwah right, you're not going to even get confounded. You won't get excited. You won't also, you won't just jump up and all of a sudden just, you know, it makes it plain. Look at tell you, come back to Sirach, come up to the statement that's written, started 2:1, because see, one thing about it, when you got your Yahuwah right, let me, pick up at 2:1. I'm looking for a verse after you read 2:1. Take your time there, young lion, because see, listen, you will not be confounded when you got your Yahuwah right. But I'm looking for a verse in Sirach, chapter 2. Just pick up verse 1. I'm going to be real quiet until we accomplish the mission that I am looking for. Take your time and come on.
Okay. We're going over to the book of Sirach. And we're going to pick it up at chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. The book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse number 1 reads, my son, if you come to serve the Yahuwah, prepare your soul for temptation. Verse 2, set your mind aright, and constantly endure, and make not haste in time of trouble. Verse 3, cleave unto him.
That's it right there. So otherwise, see, you will not be confounded. If your mind on Yahuwah, if you ain't got no folly in you, at the time of temptation, when you try, what he tell you to do in verse number 2? Let me see. See, that's the game changer right there, young lion. That's why you have to watch them all from the page of the book. See, when you get tried, you know, a lot of them get frustrated. I remember, brother, we told a long time ago, I say, brother, You was teaching on the network and you come up with a word called the blessing is a blood ritual. I said, well, since you know you had a lot of juice by saying that, I said, but what can we read that in the Bible that when you see the word blessing, it's a blood ritual? He said, well, I read it out of a book in the 1200s. I said, brother, you can't be reading a book in the 1200s and represent voices of the two Israelites. Because somebody's going to jump you on that. I said, now, you got to go back and retract that statement, brother, because that's an error. Because, you know, every time you see the word blessing in the Bible, it means what it means, a multiplication. So now he couldn't come up with no answer. So you know what he did? Took his basketball and broke out running, see? And then look behind his shoulder like somebody done him wrong. No, nobody done you wrong. If you can't line with the Bible, you can go for me. If I don't line with the Bible, somebody will say, hey, see, on your devil. We can't read that what you're saying. I can't read that nowhere. And that's the bottom line. That's why he tell you, when the heat is on you, when you are about some Yahuwah's business, and Now here go the game changer. Zerah 2 verse 2. Now if you about Yahweh's business, what do it say in 2 verse 2? Now watch that. Come on that young lion. Make the old seer get happy. Come on.
In the book of Zerah chapter 2 verse number 2. Verse 2 read. Set your mind aright and constantly endure and make not haste in time of trouble.
Don't run. If you own something, don't run. But that means that you not own something. Because when you run, that only means that you've been exposed. You can't explain what you put on the table. Then you break out running because the bottom line, you got no answer. Now you both dig deep in that book and say, look here. Let's turn over here and peep at this and turn over here and peep at that. This is where I'm coming from. Okay. Now we working with them. But I watch the best of them when you ask them to explain what you're working with. They get offended, and then they break out running. And fear said, by the mental spirit, when you get off into a confrontational, don't run. Put on your case according to the book. Matter of fact, I don't know right now. I'm just shooting from the hip. There, young man, you maybe help me out. In the book of Isaiah, it makes a statement there, young man, about produce your cause. So now, if you own something, you're supposed to produce your cause. Now, maybe even though our elder, if you help me out, elder, if it tells you online, it tells you in the book of Isaiah that what you're supposed to do is produce your cause. Now, let's see who can help the old seer out when you put them on the table. Now, they tell you, okay, well, produce your cause. If I'm not right, then you produce your cause. Now, who will help the old seer out in Isaiah? Now, we give you that much. It's Isaiah. Now, will I be able to help the seer out? Or will a young lion help out?
Isaiah 41, verse 21.
Yeah, what did it say? What did it say? What did it say that, young lion?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 21. Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 21 reads, produce your cause, saith the Yahuwah. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So bring forth your strong reason. So don't run. Just bring forth your strong reason. And how you bring forth your strong reason? Well, you go read in the Bible and put on your case. That's what you got to do. Go in the Bible and put on your case. Bring forth your strong reason. Now give me that verse that we've been waiting on for the last 20 minutes. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 11. See, understand, even Sister B.S. Judah Israel, understand what is written in this book. And let's see what's written in Revelation 3, verse number 11. What can we read by our young lion? Come on.
We're going over to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse number 11. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse number 11 reads, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown.
And see, and what I like is what I'm seeing going on behind the scenes. And I know the producer behind the scene. He's working the most skinny fingers on something right now. So he got Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel and Grass down. See, that's what we like. See, to make this thing work, we got to come together. All the brains got to come together. Because Israel, when they was at their best, they had everything to work with. They didn't have to go to other nations for nothing because they had the brain. And that's what we're putting together now. That's why we need land, school, banquet hall, and we're paying ourselves to help our young ones, you know. But we can't let nobody take our crown. But you got to produce your cause, you know, when somebody will say, well, that ain't right, then you say, well, what you mean that ain't right? Well, produce your cause that is not right. So they got to on that book and show you where you not right. What you say, Latter-day Saints?
You ain't lying about that.
Well, no, we're not lying about anything, Latter-day Saints. We're gonna always let the show what the Bible saying. So now we read in 2 Ezra 2, 42 through 48. I took notes on it. Now I want to precept that to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. Young line, I want to precept that. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. So we're going to be watching the best of. Remember this thing about seniority. If you produce your cause and your vision is right up on the some dust says YHWH, we all ears. And remember one thing, Yahweh is going to give us the double. That's once we in order. But when you put the heat on you, you got to have the heat put on you. Don't run. No, take the heat. Produce your calls. It's no statement going to come out your mouth. But the reason I said this here, the verse is right here. Because everybody can look at the together and say, okay, you own something. But now you don't produce your calls by running at the same time. Because one thing about it, you're going to be tried in Yahweh. Best for us to try you in Yahweh before the world try you, because they're going to stop you up. But if you can get past the six anointed counts, then we know you will come back not confound, because you'll be able to produce your cause once they come up on some ass. You'll be able to take you out of business. That's what it's all about. Now, so we got that down pat. Now, we will precept to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16 there, young man. What that say that we can read?
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, picking up at verse number 16. Verse 16 reads, therefore shall they receive a glorious kingdom and a beautiful crown from the Yahweh's hand. For with his right hand shall he cover them, and with his arm shall he protect them.
You got to read that again, that young man. So you see what he said? If you don't run, get in where you fit in. You don't know what is your reward. I'm telling you now. Solomon is telling you, hold on. You produce your cause, don't run. The more they throw something at you, the more you dig into the scripture and say, well, look here. This is my cause why that we're not using, I'm not using out my mouth. Called Lord and God. The big, even they telling you the name was taken out the Bible over 7,000 times, and nobody in the Bible's English. Lord, God, and Jesus is the English word. So they spoke the Semitic language, 22 alphabets, no vowels. So how can you get Lord, God, and Jesus out of that, and there's no such words as Lord, God, and Jesus in the original Semitic language with 22 alphabets today? So you got to come clean. And then we got the record showing you the Vatican City is the one that pushed this thing and saying, look here, I don't care what's going on. They got the big meeting that's over there in Rome today. It's all big dignitaries going to come to us, and we're going to teach them. You know the first thing going to teach them? Lord God and Jesus. And it's up to you to step up. To pull your loved ones out of the fire. But all you can really is save is yourself. Now, if you put on your case right, if the word don't draw them, then it's nothing you can do. But you got to have the word right to draw them by them not talking a good game, read a good game, you know? That's the time it is. So we find out, but I'm still, there's a couple more things I want to get back on the table. I got to take out so many memos. Okay, about relationships. Got to get back and tighten it up a little bit more on relationships, because it's very important. See, you can't have nobody juggling at you when you're stretching out in this thing here. You got to make sure you know what's going on, and you got to weigh out who's who and who's not. So when you go to 1 Peter there, young man, in the 3rd chapter, now Peter is the speaker for the nation of Israel. He's the one that the father said, told the son, Yahweh, let me deal with him one-on-one. He belongs to me. I want him. Okay, good. Now, Peter has been taught the Almighty himself. So now, what Peter wrote in the 3rd chapter, gonna give you what to, whatever he said, we'll see what Peter got to say. 3, Peter verse 1, and take your time there, young line. Let's see what's going on in 1 Peter 3, 1 down to verse 11. Listen to this. I want this rabbi to give me some hot tea because Peter is the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. What you mean? What you mean by that? Out of things. Well, hold that point. Let me see how I bring our elder in. Elder Mr. Tibbs, in the book of Matthew's chapter 16, can you help those see out in verse 14 down to verse 14 to 17? Hey, Elder Mr. Tibbs, can you help those see out and look right at Matthew's chapter 16 and pick up verse 14? Ill, Mr. Tibbs, you on the clock, come out. What you saying, WCC? I like the young lion reading. Go back to him. Oh, okay. All right, young lion. Look at that Matthew chapter 16 and pick up verse 14. And what you working with, come out.
The book of Matthew, chapter 16, reading verse 14 down to verse 17. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 14, read. And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the seers. Verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are Yahweh the Son of the living Yahweh the Father. Verse 17. And Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven.
It is like, so now you know, oh, Peter, he got to be extra sharp because he said, I didn't tell you none of this. He said, my father had to tell you this. My father one told you this, so look here. So Peter is talking now, but Peter is being, you know, well trained by the father himself. Because son said, I didn't tell you this. That means the father shot in his brain to tell him who this guy is, because a lot of them thought he was one of the seers. He said, no. You are Yahweh the Son from the living Yahweh the Father.
Yahweh.
Joseph stuff down, you know, put that down, because he is right here now. So now, there is right there. So now, Peter got a voice. So anything Peter got to say, you want to roll with it. Let's see what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 11. Now, we know Peter has been trained by the Father. Let's see what Peter wrote in 3, 1 down to verse 11. Listen good. Come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Peter. We're picking up at chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 down to verse number 11. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 reads, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversion of the wives. Verse 2.
Hold that point.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that point. I'll get one verse here. He said, now, be subjection to your own mate. But he just said, now, not just any mate. A mate that do what in verse 1? Let's take these verses. Let's pick these apart, young lion. statement and 3 verse 1. Let's take one verse at a time because we don't know where it's going, but we got to make sure we understand things. Once we come together to help others, meaning we got to get out of our own flesh to help others. Listen what Peter was instructed to tell today from the Father himself. 3:1, come on.
The book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 reads, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversion of the wives.
He said, now be subjection upon your own mate. Don't ignore the word. So your mate must have the word. Just not a mate that all he knows is how to bounce the basketball and give me something, young lion, give me something. What else?
And fix the car.
And fix the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can fix the car. You see, no. Be subjection to your mate that's in the word. So you got to be able to help your offspring or your cousin, your nieces, to make sure don't just bring somebody because he said ma'am and mister and sir. No. Make sure they in the word. Because they in the word, they got hope to rehabilitate them on things they don't know. But if they're not in the word, you in trouble. You only thing you have in common is just 2 minutes in the track, then after that, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the man is trying to tell you. Make sure you with a man that is a Yahwali man, according to Peter, being instructed by Yahweh. Now we took that verse 1. Let's see what verse 2 says.
Okay. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, while they behold your chaste conversions coupled with fear.
That means they will watch you and they see that you've been 617 or 627. What do Sirach 6:27 say? Take on 6:27. Help me out there, young line. Sirach 6:27.
We're going over to the book of Sirach, chapter 6. You want verse 27? Verse 27. The book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 27 reads, search and seek, and she shall be made known unto you. And when you have got hold of her, let her not go.
Well, make back at verse 26.
Okay. 26. Come to her with the whole mind and keep her ways with all your power.
But wait a minute, young lion.
I think you want 7:26. 7:26.
Yeah.
Book of Sirach.
Hold on, young lion. Let those see it get in there for a minute. You're right, I do want 7:26. But I'm saying that once we really make these things according to his Bible, see, remember, get out your flesh to help others. Because if a school, it will be. So, but as long as you in your flesh, and as soon as you get pushed to the corner, then you crumble all up. Then what good you are to help those to come? Because you got to lead by example. We read already in Isaiah, you got to produce your cause. If you feel you own something is going another direction, then you got to go in the Bible and produce your cause. But don't run. Stand tall. If you believe in something, stand tall. Don't run. And that's a game changer. So, in Sirach 7:26. See, remember, imagine school is already there. Because remember what's written in Romans 4, can you hear me out? 4:17, can you hear me out there, young line? What's written that we can read in Romans chapter 4, verse 17?
We're going over to the book of Romans. And we're going to read chapter 4. And we're going to read verse number 17. Going over to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 17, read. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
See, we can tell you now by knowing Yahweh's word. See, we calling it, but he don't make it plain. He said, yeah, okay, sir. You want school, banquet hall, all that, for the people? He said, okay, who is prepared to teach when it's hot and heavy? Huh? Now, you ask me that question. I mean, when it's hot and heavy, will they break out running and get in their buildings? See, you got to find out all these things because you got scoffers out here, and they're going to come at you. Scoffers going to come at you. And they'll try to frustrate you and get you off your game in the word of Yahweh. So now, are you prepared to deal with the scoffers? Over there in 2 Peter, he tell you that they on their way, young lion. In 2 Peter, can you help me out in 3 verse 1? Let me see. Now, is they on their way? In 2 Peter 3 verse 1, see, our job, especially in leadership, the scoffers is on their way. You got all types of, especially leaders, the leaders is coming out of Vatican City when they tell you about being a Christian. And there's no Christian that's going to call on the four letters because it's already been authority and we had already read in a couple of lessons past. There's no Christian going to use the four letters. They're going to play like they never heard it. So you're clear, but really, they really is parakeeting what was told by the Pope from Satan to Pope and to the bishop to get to the pastors and teachers. I don't care what name you call him, never call him by the four letters. So we're clear about that already. So Christian ain't going to call on the name. They're going to play like, where that come from? They're going to play dumb, but they're not dumb. They know it was a decree already from Vatican City not to use the name. See? But you got to be able to deal with it. What you getting ready to read, young lion?
We're going to 2 Peter. Chapter 3, picking up at verse number 1. Verse number 1 reads, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance.
Go ahead.
Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the righteous seers and of the laws of us, the apostles of the Yahweh, the Son, and Savior. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
He said, we're in the last day, scoffers going to come. And the scoffers is in the Vatican City himself, the Pope. He's a scoffer right now. Because he said, well, where's all these promises at? He said, everybody back on the left-hand side is dead. But no, you can say that, but then when you precept that and Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 and 3:18. Let's see if we pull some out on that. He said in the last days they're gonna come scoffers. they're going to be talking about the things that one's happening. Now, help me out there, young Larry. I don't know what we own, but the way I hear it, the way I call it, what can we read in 1 verse 9 backed up in Ecclesiastes, what, 3:15? Yeah, 3:15. I want a back-to-back precept on that. So you say in the last days, they're going to come scoffers. They're going to say, well, all that back there is done away with. We are the ones that's supposed to lead you up on the Christianity. But we're going to read a little bit more about Christianity shortly. But I want to know, what did Solomon say in 1 verse 9? What did he say that we can read in 1 verse 9 there, young man? What did he say?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 verse 9, and we're going to pick up at chapter 3 verse 15. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 verse 9 reads, "The things that have been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun."
Yeah, hold on, let me get in that. So now, they said, well, after fathers had them died, everything remained the same. It's over. No, not according to, we just got to read. We read now, the real thing that happened then is on the clock as we speak. Now we're going to precept that to about 3:15 somewhere. Young mind, we're going to get a precept on that in 3:15. We're going to produce our calls in 3:15. Help those see out. Is those see on some or not? 3:15, what it say?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, picking up at verse number 15. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 15 reads, "That which have been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And Yahweh requires that which is past."
Is that? He said, the things that have once been, they here now. And he require the things that have passed. So now, what is he saying? He's saying that everybody was once back there on the left-hand side is spiritually back today. They have no remembrance of their prior life because Yahweh done a 12 verse 7 out of the book of Ecclesiastes. He told Solomon, hey, Solomon, 12 verse 7 on you. You just put it in writing and just bag away from it. Just put it down there in writing. What does it say in 12 verse 7 that we can read?
In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse number 7, verse 7 reads, "Then should the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit should return unto Yahweh who gave it."
You see that? He said, although you go back to where you came from, dust you are and dust you're going to return. But that spirit is inside of you, return back to the Almighty. Then whenever he see fit, he replaces right back in somebody else. But they have no remembrance of what they once did. But then he gave that information to this protocol to be able to watch who's from the pages of the book. You will know when someone of old, especially in dealing with wickedness, because remember, Antioch Epiphanes' seed is you call the Vatican City wrong. That's Antioch Epiphanes' seed right there. And we know the Vatican heals the direct from Antioch Epiphanes by their deeds. You know why we know that? Look what it says in the first book of Maccabees. How we know that? Because we watch the Bible. Not that, you know, we just watch the Bible. If you watch the Bible, you can tell who's what by watching the Bible. Now, in first book of Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 8 down to verse 11, take it down to verse 10. 8 to 10, what happened that we can read? Then we'll skip down to verse number 40. See, all you got to do is don't worry about the appearance thing. Watch everybody on the pages of the book. You'll know who's who if you know how to go in your Bible and peace. So in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 8 down to verse 10, then skip down to verse 40, and what it say?
The book of 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 8 down to verse number 10, and then skip down to verse number 40. The book of 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 8 reads, and his servants bear rule over one in his place. Verse 9, and after his death, they all put crowns upon their head. So did their sons after them many years, and evils were multiplied in the earth. Verse 10, and there came out of them a wicked
group.
Hold
that part right there. So now once the descendants of Alexander, the descendants of Esau, took over the known world, first time Esau was running the world and his five sons. Then after he fell sick, he had four of his friends that grew up with them. And he chosen them to precede him while he was alive. He gave all of them a crown on their head. But once his hometown friends got in power, what happened in verse 10 again? Young Lion, what happened in verse 10?
Oh, it's coming. Let me stop for a second. All right, the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse number 10 reads, and there came out of them a wicked root, Antiochus, surnamed Epiphanes, son of Antiochus the king, who had been in hostage at Rome, and he reigned in the 137th year B.C. of the kingdom of the Greeks.
Of the descendants of Esau. So in 137, out of Alexander and his four generals, it was a son born to them called Antiochus Epiphanes.
Mm-hmm.
Epiphanes means almighty of the world. He says, I am the almighty of the world. So since he says he's the almighty of the world and the ball was in his court, then he says something in verse 40, and what did he say? 40, and we read a little bit. Now, since he's all world, almighty one that everybody can see, and he knew it. Now, what did he say that we can read in verse 40 with all his power he held a stole on himself? Verse 40, and we keep reading till we get our point. Come on.
The book of 1 Maccabees, picking up verse number 40, reading down. Verse 40 reads, had been her glory, so was her dishonor increased, and her excellency was turned into mourning. Verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. 42. And everyone should leave his laws. So all the 17 nations agreed according to the commandment of the king. Verse 43. Yet many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed to idols and profane the Sabbath. Verse 44. For the king has sent letters by messengers unto Yada Judah, the cities of Yada Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land. Verse 45. And forbid burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and feast days. Verse 46. And pollute the temple and righteous people. Verse 47. Set up altars and groves and chapels of idols, and sacrifice swine's flesh and unclean beasts. Verse 48.
Blood. Duh. So now you see, Antioch Epiphanes, the sinners of Esau, and his five sons translate today as the white man and the white woman. Now, Antioch himself, he had passed, but he had also a bloodline that takes us right back to today. So who does that today? Who tells you? Now, see, this is how you just look into present history, present today, and ancient history and tie it together. So now, who tells you today to don't call yourself an Israelite? Call yourself by what we give you. Who tells us today to every January 1st eat some hog, and we find out it was forbidden for the Israelites to eat hog? Who tell us today that you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day, Friday night to Saturday night, you can keep Sunday? So what organization tell you that today? So that's how you find out what bloodline this is in on the left side that's going today. Remember, everybody that was on the left side is really back today, and how you know them is through their works. So now who telling you don't use the name anymore? What organization telling you that? We read the Stalker Documents Facts. It's the Vatican City, Rome. 2008, if they don't use that name, four letters, YHWH. See? And keep Sunday. And eat hog. And whatever law that you had, forget about it. And then he says, in the same book, in second book of Maccabees, in the second book of Maccabees, or make it second, Ezra 6:9. He makes a statement in 6:9, and then all you got to do is put this together and see how do you conduct yourself. In 2 Maccabees 6, verse number 9, let's see what it says. Get out there, young lion, bring it up.
Okay, we're going over to the book of 2 Maccabees. We're going to pick it up at chapter 6, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 9. Verse 9 reads, "And whoso would not conform themselves to the manner of Esau and his five sons should be put to death. Then might a man have been the present, then might a man have seen the present misery." Verse 10. "For there were two women both who had circumcised their children."
Wait a minute, young lion. I'm not getting my hit. And ain't got no books.
You want 18?
So try. I'll back up to make that second Maccabees. Verse 6:9. Is that what I want? Let me see what I want. You know. Elder, you can step in there in time. You can help those CL. I mean, I'm on something. And in 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 9, isn't it? I mean, 2 Maccabees 6:9. You know, every now and then, you know, see, you get stubborn. In 2 Ezra. Now, you sure you in 2 Ezra? That young man?
No, I'm not in 2 Ezra.
Okay. All righty. Okay. I know I ain't that far off there, young man. So now you in 2 Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pick it up at verse number 6. Make it 6:6. Let's read down from 6:6.
Okay, we're going over to the book of 2 Ezra. We're going to start reading at chapter 6, and we're going to pick it up at verse 6 and read down. The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 6 reads, "Then did I consider these things, And they all were made through me alone and through none other. By me also they can be in.
Y'all lying. Hold up. I'm all over the place on take number 44. I'm all over the place. Let's try that in the book Maccabees. I'm all over the place right here now. In the book of Maccabees, in the book of Maccabees, he's struggling. So, but now he got a book in his hand now. Now we got a book in his hand. Now we're peeping. And I see Sister Israel. She's on the network. And she tell no seer, hey, seer, no, I think you want First Maccabees, right? Chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. Oh, okay. Thank you, that Sister Israel. He said, no, you want First Maccabees, chapter 6. So let me know that even Sister Israel is doing a little studying. That's a good thing. See, every now and then, I'll see a little hand every now and then. So, see, I'm not going to get upset because I love knowledge around old Seer, because every now and then I might take a cat nap while we talking. So now in First Maccabees, chapter 6. Now pick up at 6 down. Let's read from 6-6 now. Now we on point. Thank you there, Sister Israel. All right, come on. 6-6, come on.
First Maccabees.
6-6.
First Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6 down to verse number 9. First Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6 reads, and that Lazarus, who went forth first with a great power, was driven away of Yadah Judah, and that they were
hold
made.
That point. Hold that point. Hey, hold that point. I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm all over the place. I'm just going to leave that alone. I ain't getting what I want. Sister Israel, that's closed, but that's not cigars. So I ain't getting what I want. I'm just all over the place. I'm going to say what I'm looking for. I ain't going to say it. I'm like King Nebuchadnezzar say, whatever I'll dream. He said, hey, King, give me a hint on what you want to dream. No, I ain't telling you. No, it's in Second Maccabees. I go and come clean. Make that Second Maccabees 669. Thank you there. Who's that giving me that? WCC. Oh, you don't want. All right, thank you, WCC. Well, you know, every now and then you be all right every now and then too. Look at Second Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6-9. Now.
All right.
Now.
We're going over to 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 6, down to verse number 9. Verse 6 reads, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts, or to profess himself at all to be Yadah Judah. Verse 7.
You see that? That's it. Hold up. Yeah, you see that? So now who was telling us that today it is? See, this one was told Ezra, guess what? An organization's going to come up. And you know, you call Judah from the southern kingdom, you ain't going to be able to use that. You're going to have to be called, what you're going to be called. No, it tells you in Jeremiah 17, verse 4, but it was already prophesied before that. In Jeremiah 17, verse 4, young man, what can we read in 17? You see, like today, do you answer by calling yourself Judah Israel? No. You will answer by calling yourself more of what the Vatican City has said you are, right? Right. Right, see? So this was already told. This is going to happen. So you don't respond to your name that the blessing give you. You respond to your government name more than your biblical name, but your government name is only good for cashing checks for now. So, but when you introduce yourself, you're supposed to put your spiritual name on the table. Then you got the blessing of your mighty one over your head. See, because it's no paperwork that the other nation got that the Almighty gonna accept anyway. So whatever you think you don't got from him, it's not gonna be accepted in the hands of Yahweh, because he made it plain in the reason why in Psalm 50, 16 and 17. So this is the reason. So it's no big deal, no more than cashing your checks. But it's nothing they can do for you, period, to get up under the honor of the grace of Yahweh. Why? Because he told David in the 50th chapter, verse 16 and 17, what he said we can read there, young lion?
The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 16, verse 17. Verse 16, read. But unto the wicked, Yahweh said, what have you to do to declare my laws, or that you should take my covenant in your mouth? Verse 17, seeing you hate instructions and cast my words behind you.
You see? So he said, it's nothing that the wicked can do that I'm going to honor in writing of anything. I mean, you're talking about him himself. So it's nothing that you got with his handwriting on the approval and his stamp on it that the Almighty going to honor. That's the point I'm making. All one's going to honor that is whatever he wrote for the world. Now, once he signed your check, the world will honor your check. But Yahweh is not going to honor your check. You're going to be bankruptcy in the eyes of Yahweh. But that worldly name you got is great for the world, but not in the sight of Yahweh. See, so I'm saying it. So it's no big deal. Worldly to go ask anybody anything. But spiritually, you want to be lined up with your mighty one, because he going to only answer to one people. And he make it plain in Amos 3, 1 and 2. Listen what he said in Amos 3, 1 and 2. What he said we can read. Listen what the turn of the conversation, so we can be clear about it. So you know all them rings on your finger and all them paperwork you got in the drawer? That's only honored in the world, not in the eyes of Yahweh. Because we're showing you soundly about a relationship in Yahweh shortly. We're going to get back on it. The one that Yahweh approve of. He approve of one relationship according to the Bible, but we go on another relationship according to the world. You see? Take care a little bit later. What you reading there, young lion?
Going over to the book of Amos, chapter 3, picking up at verse number 1 and verse number 2. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 1 reads, hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins.
See? So you see, all the one he knows is Israel. But Israel, the only one he knows, but look what Isaiah said Israel gonna do. Look what he said Israel gonna do in 65 verse 15. He said, you only have I known out of all the families of the earth. But look what old Israel gonna do. That was told in 700 BC in 65. In 65 verse 15, out of the mouth of Isaiah the seer. Look what old Israel going to do. What are you going to do that we can read there, young lion?
The book of Isaiah chapter 65 verse number 15, verse 15 read, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Yahweh shall slay you and call his servants by another name.
He said, you're going to leave your name for a curse name. See? He said, you're going to leave your name, and by you leaving your name, guess what Jeremiah wrote? Rap, he said that in 17, verse 4. Now watch what Jeremiah wrote behind that. See, Jeremiah wrote, he said, you're going to leave your name for a curse, right? You're not going to respond to Israel. No. You're going to respond to your government name, the name that the world gave to you through your parents. Now, once you come to knowledge of the truth, understand one thing. That worldly name, okay, I use to cash my check. I ain't got no problem with that. But when I introduce myself, I ain't using it because there ain't no blessing in that worldly name. I got a blessed name, but I don't use my blessed name. I use the name the world gave me. See, because you can't go get nothing that Yahweh is going to approve of anyway from the hands of Esau and his five sons spiritually. Now, you can get it worldly. Now, worldly, you can get whatever you want, worldly. But I'll tell you one thing, spiritually, that worldly name, and maybe in this lesson we might get it out, they're going to show you exactly what's going to happen with that worldly name if you don't have the spiritual name tied to your name. And if you don't help yourself, at least help the offsprings that come behind you, tell them that when you address yourself to the public, use your spiritual name, not the name that I give you, worldly, because that name ain't going to mean nothing when you stand before Yahweh, because he ain't going to hear none of them names that worldly have given you. And that's why he cleaned up Jacob and gave him the name Israel, then told him, blessing by using the name Israel. What that means to you. So what part of reading, y'all line?
We're going over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, picking up at verse number 4. Verse 4 reads.
Yeah, what it say?
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 4 reads. And you, even yourself, shall discontinue from your heritage that I gave you. And I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you know not. For you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever.
The man said, he said, Jeremiah said to see him, you're going to discontinue from your heritage what I gave you. He gave you something. Do you know that he gave you something? And in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, verse 27, let's go see what he gave you that Jeremiah is quoting. That he gave you something. The mighty one gave you something. And we're going to read what he gave you. And he'll tell you power of this that we get ready to read in Numbers 6, verse 22, verse 27. He said, you're going to discontinue from your inheritance. What he gave you? What did he give you? Let's go fire it out. Number 6, 22 to 27. Let's all read together. You taking notes of our sister B.S. Judy Israel? You taking notes? Because we understand the name worldly. And that's fine. You got to cash your checks in them worldly names. But remember one thing. What you trying to get to, eternal life, that name ain't going to cut it. What's going to cut it is what you're getting ready to read. He said, you're going to discontinue from your inheritance that he gave you. Let's go find out what he gave you. Numbers 6, 22, verse 27. Listen good.
The book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 down to verse 27. Verse 22 reads, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto Aaron the seer and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto him, verse 24, the Yahweh bless you and keep you. 25, the Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. 26, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
You know what that said? He said, put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's been trouble, Dale. He said, listen. He said, come to Moses. Look, Moses, you go tell Aaron and all the elders they got a job to do. Whatever they call themselves, fine. But at the end of their name, put Israel in there, and I'm going to bless them. Not only bless them, I'm going up 2, 23, 25, and X. Even I got a Exodus 2, 23, down to verse 25 waiting on them. Listen to this. So when you put at the end of your name Israel, that's when you, when you're not doing your worldly deeds, you know, hey. But when it come down to the world, okay, here it is. Okay, I got to go cash my check. Okay, here it is. No problem. But when they ask you, who are you, and you know you're not at your job, you tell them who you are. I'm Israel. All right? I'm Israel. What about you, man? You're not Israel. I'm Israel. I'm B.S. Judah Israel.
Hallelujah, bro.
Now you got everybody's attention now. Now you got mama's attention, brother's attention. He was raised up. I know that. But the light I'm turned on now. Well, what about that other man you got? Well, I use it to cast my check. After I cast my check, when I go out and they say something to me, I correct them to let them know I'm Israel. I'm Israel. See? So that means somebody. And straight, good. You got it, good. What you reading there, young
line? Okay, we're going over to the book of Exodus. You say, did you say chapter 2, verse 23 down to 25?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, it just went a little low on me. Say that one more time.
2:23.
Okay.
Down to verse 25.
Okay. The book of Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 down to 25, verse 23 reads, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto Yahweh by reason of the bondage. Verse 24, and Yahweh heard their groaning. And Yahweh remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Israel. Verse 25. And Yahweh looked upon the children of Israel, the Israelites, and Yahweh had respect unto them.
You see that? Now, don't you want your mighty one to have respect unto you if you get, you know, get hemmed up in a corner? He's not going to have respect for you with your government understanding. He won't have respect with you when it's like, for example, your niece, your nephew, one of your offsprings cry. Don't you immediately stop what you're doing and go see what they're crying? Remember the days? You immediately stop. Okay, what you doing? My child is crying. Let me go see what my child is doing. See? What they want. So that's the blessing you got when you got at the end of your name Israel.
Hallelujah.
But long as you call your that worldly name, Yahweh just is now watching you. We just read in 17 verse 4, you're going to discontinue from your heritage. Now, when Jeremiah said that, he had to pull it from somewhere. He just wasn't throwing none out there and left it alone. Let's see if we find out where he said that from, what's going on, by going to 17. No, let's go to Psalms 111, verse 6. See, remember, when you precept your Bible, it tells the story. See, everybody can bump the gum, but let them win the bump the gum contest. And when they come up on Samaria, you say you're going to discontinue from your heritage, right? Let me say in Psalm 111, verse 6.
The book of Psalms, chapter 111. We'll pick it up at verse number 6, 3. He has showed his people power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen.
He said, you got the heritage of the nations coming. He said, you got the inheritance of the nations. He don't show you. Let's go to 119 verse 11. 119 verse 11. We get a little bit more on it. Let's get a little bit more. Let's precept a little bit more.
Okay. 119 verse number 11. We're going over there to the book of Psalms chapter 119. We're picking it up at verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, your word have I hid in my mind, that I might not sin against you.
Continue. Now we got 119 verse. I need a little bit more on the inheritance. All right, now, young man, is you looking real good? But I know I'm on something because I'm not following my own way. So now I'm looking for a little bit more out of that 119. I'm looking for the word called inheritance. Now let me get a little book and see where did I go show that. I know I've been struggling pretty good. And 119, verse number 11, I'm looking for something else there, young man.
Okay.
And let's see. What? I'm looking for the word called inheritance. So it's not there. So make it 14. No, I don't know. Nah, all over the place right now. So. I thought it was 119 verse 11, and I didn't see it there, so it's no need me guessing it. I leave that alone. I come back with that another time because I'm all over the place right now. So now, just tie it all in with Sirach in 17:11. Let's see back this word, because the word that we're dealing with, that's the word we're dealing with. So we're taking another way by going to Sirach, chapter 17, verse 11.
Okay. We're going over to the book of Sirach, chapter 17, verse number 11. We're going over to the book of Sirach, chapter 17, verse number 11. 11 reads, besides this, he gave them knowledge in the law of life for heritage.
So he gave you the law of life for your inheritance. We gave you that name, Israel, was the law of life for you. For me to respond to you, I'm respond when you know who you are spiritually. We know we got to deal worldly with this man that's in power today, but when you understand what is the end of this man, and you study, stay on that same train, in the second book of Revelation, chapter 4, there, young man, John, let me set the stage up while you find your second book of Revelation, chapter 4. Let me set the stage up. In Revelation, chapter 1, 17 through 19, the angel came down and told John, I'm here to instruct you about writing the hereafter. Good. So John, in 4 verse 1, he said, I'm here, John, for you to write the hereafter. The angel was talking to John even about a name that's going to come in the hereafter in a cup, and that name is Jesus. That name in the 17th chapter was named Jesus. He said, the one that's going to be perpetrating his name, Jesus, according to 17 verse 9, is going to sit on seven hills and seven mountains. You go on your computer and put in who sits on seven hills and seven mountains, and it'll come up with the Vatican City. He said, not only that, in verse 4 and 5, it'll tell you the clothes they're going to be having on, purple and red. And not only that, they said they're going to have a golden cup in their hand. And in that cup, it's going to be names, many names, but it's abomination to the Almighty. Got it? Good. So So all that in 17 verse 9. So John said, since you don't ask, you don't told me all this stuff, I got one question for you. Since you don't gave me a name, Jesus, now I got a name. I want to find out about this name called Christian. I don't know what that means, Christian. But can you tell me by you knowing the end from the beginning, what's going to happen to the Christian, the one that got their name for a church, and he identified with the name? Let's see what John the Revelator sees on the Holy Ghost, the angel, the righteous spirit, when he asked a question about this name called, what do the Christian got from? And what he said, we all can read together at Young Lion. Take your time and let's talk about it. If you're a Christian, John want to know, what do the Christian got from it? What do he say? Come on.
Okay. We're going over there too. We're going to read the second book of Revelation. So in the second book of Revelation, we're going to pick it up at chapter 4. We're going to start at verse number 14. Book of the second book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 14 reads, so shall it be with the righteous and the sinner. For the righteous shall shine as light and as the sun. But the sinners shall stand as dark.
Well, hold on there, young man. I want to back up some more. Mm-hmm. I want him to participate to the mental spirit. What about the Christians? Now, back up now. Get me right now. Make the old seer look pretty good. Now, I want to hear the part when it says, when he asked the mental spirit, the one that was sent down from the Son and the Father, about the Christians. I want to hear him say to the mental spirit about the Christian. That's the part I want to hear. Start off with that. Come on.
Okay. And again, I said, In the book of 2 Revelation chapter 4, picking up in the middle of verse 14, read, and again I said, Yahweh, and do all the Christians go into one punishment? Kings, high priests, patriots, rich and poor, bond and free. And I heard a voice saying to me, hear, righteous John, as the king said, David foretold, the expectations of the poor should not perish forever. Verse 15. Now about kings, they shall be driven like slaves and shall weep like infants. About patriots and priests and Levites of those that have sinned, they shall be separated in their punishment according to the nature of the peculiar, the special transgressions of each. Some in the river of fire, and some to the worm that died not, and others in the seven-mounted pit of punishment. So these punishments. But and again I said, Yahweh, where will the righteous dwell? And I heard a voice saying to me, then shall paradise be revealed, and the whole world and paradise shall be made one. And the righteous shall be on the face of all the earth with my angels, as the righteous spirit foretold through the king seer David. The righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell therein forever and ever. And again I said,
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. We're gonna beat. That's good enough. But now you heard John asked the angel, what about the Christians? He said, the Christians, were they old or young? What, I don't care what tribe they think they came from. He said, they going to be driven like slaves. Talking about you and those that's Christians. He said, but you going to take the punishment, Israel, big time, because you know I gave you a name for your inheritance. So by since you want to be a Christian, we know, because see, John was concerned about his people. But what about my people that going to become a Christian? He said, I don't care what tribe they come from. I'm going to drive them like slaves, and they going to the fire. Because these are the ones that don't want to believe that you got to keep the Sabbath day. wrap bridges. Thus says the four-letter man, that they can make it by using their pagan names and everything else, but they don't get a rude awakening. See? So the punishment gonna start with you, Israel, because he gave you and had his name. And once you understand, you ain't got to go see nobody. You just, when you talk to any of your Israelite friends, your acquaintance, you give them your biblical name. You put your government name only, keep it in your purse or keep it in your wallet. Huh? Because you want the blessing of Yahweh over your head. So now you say, well, you know, my name is, you know, spiritually. Oh, but that ain't name on your check. It's, no, ain't name on my check. My name is my government name on my check. I cast that money with that for the same token. But I don't want you to call me by what I just put in that ATM machine. You call me what I pay you to call me. That's it. Cause I want the blessing to be out loud on my head. But, all right, so we got that part out the way. So you found you came from your heritage. And you'll be called another name. And the name that you will be called by is these two names that was talked about in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. What name that you will respond more to it in Israel? What name is that? Let's see what it says in Acts 11, 26. What do you say there, young man?
Okay, we're going over to the book of Acts. We're going to pick it up at chapter number 11, and we're going to read verse number 26. 26 reads, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with all the congregation of Israel, traveling Yadah Judah, and taught much people.
Now, hold on, young man. Remember one thing. We're not in our spirit. We trying to educate what they're going to be called. See, these are the names that we remember. We on this radio broadcast to educate them, not ourselves. So this is what they're going to be called. They say they got to Antioch. And then all of a sudden they received a name in Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
And what name did they receive? Read right there, 11:26. What name did they receive?
Okay. Well, pick it back up at the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 26 reads, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
You see that? He said, you received a name called church. You remember you preached this down before, you said, you got a church on? Come up to me, church on. Church, and you became a Christian at Antioch. So there right there, you was called Christian, the Christian church. And who the head of the Christian church today? The Pope. The Pope is the head of the Christian church. I don't care if you WCC, World Council of Churches, Latter-day Saints, I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, all you up under, and Islam came out from under the Christian church. All of them came out under the Christian church. And the Christian church was set up by, let's run to the third book of Enoch. And we'll look at verse 26:12. Let's find out who the church was set up by. Who set the church up? In the third book, now Enoch is the seventh from heaven. And he could tell you what's going on that we can read. Somebody visit the city every day in the week, and they have a discussion. Now we go and see what the prophecy telling Enoch something. But I tell you what, before you read Enoch, I want to hear what was told to him in 1:1 of the book of Enoch. First Enoch 1:1. Let's build a case. We got plenty of time. Remember, back on the airways tomorrow at 7:30. We're gonna look at Enoch for a minute. In Enoch 1:1, Let's build a case for Enoch in 1:1. What can we read in Enoch 1?
Okay, we're going to the first book of Enoch, chapter 1, verse number 1. We're going up to the first book of Enoch. We're going to pick it up at chapter 1. We're going to read verse number 1. Verse 1 read, the words of the blessing of Enoch, with which he blessed the elect and righteous, who will be living in the day of tribulation, when all the wicked and Yahweh's people are to be removed from the earth.
Hold on, young man. You see,
we are one.
Enoch will bear witness on the day of tribulation. He said, the prophecy that Enoch was told, you will be, when I make my grand move, you will be there to not intervene. You intervene not by saying what you're saying, but you be the date and note. You will be back in, although Enoch is, you know, I got to put a rabbit out of the head on that. And let's talk about it for a minute. In the book of Genesis there, young man.
Right.
Let's talk about Enoch for just a minute. He's telling Enoch that you will be, because he did something with Enoch that we need to read, but we can be clear, he done something with Enoch that we can read. Now, but I've been struggling all night, but in Genesis chapter 5, he done something with Enoch that we can read there, you know, man. See, what can we read in verse number that bring his father in? We got to bring his father in, but be clear that we own something. And Genesis chapter 5, I want to bring Enoch in around by verse number, pick it up around by verse number 18. We read down verse about 18 and 20. Let's see what we can read between 18 and 24 in the fifth book of Genesis. We want to get his resume. What's going on here?
All right. We're going over there to the first book of, Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 down to 24. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 to 24, verse 18 reads, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. 19. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. Verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he became Methuselah. 22. And Enoch walked with Yahweh after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. 24. And Enoch walked with Yahweh, and he was not, for Yahweh took him.
See that? So now you see, Enoch was not. That means he did not die. And he was talking. Yahweh taking Enoch. Be the seven from heaven. Enoch was taken, but you know, put in mind the evidence that was taken into heaven. That was the abbot's mind was saying. No, he was taken to another part of this earth that we'll take care of some other time. But you see, he was taken. So Enoch did not taste death. Now, we know he's a live man, and we read his genealogy of his father, Enoch. We got it? Good. Now, so now when we read the book of Enoch, we read in 1:1 and 1:2, I think we read 2, that Enoch will be in the day of tribulation. He'll be in the day of tribulation. And we want to precept that, young lion, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 1, 2, we want to precept that to Deuteronomy chapter 4. He said he will be in the days, he will be back in the day of tribulation. Tribulation on who? We're going to look at Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2, and we're going to look at verse number 30. Deuteronomy 1, 2, and we're going to look at verse 30, because God will be back on the day of tribulation. And what is Enoch going to be? What's going on? Let's preach up our Bible and see what's going on in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1, 2, and...
Okay, we're going...
What is it saying? Oh, 1, 2, and 30 there, young lion, what is it say?
We're going over there to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Verse 1, verse 2, and verse number 30. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1, 3. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the laws and unto the judgments which I teach you, or to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Yahweh of your father giveth you. Verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish it from it, that you may keep the laws of the Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you. Verse number 30. When you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter day, if you turn to the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and shall be obedient to his voice.
Hear that? So Enoch going to be here to watch you, children of Israel, what you going to do in the latter days. See, Enoch will be back here to watch you in the latter days. So you in the days now. So he watching you right now. See, is you going to return back to what's written in this Bible? Or are you just going to go down with Satan the devil? I mean, he's just watching you. He's going to be here to watch you. Now, go to the 3rd chapter of Deuteronomy, and let's tell you what your benefits that you have if you change. It's up to you. In the 3rd chapter, 1 down to verse 7, to tell us something, because Enoch will be here on your tribulation, not to intervene, but it's a prophecy of him to be here, to just watch and see who's going to do what. 30 chapter 1 through 7. Listen to what he told Moses in 31 through 7 about this tribulation. Come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 down to verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 reads, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Yahweh, your Yahweh, have driven you. Verse 2. And shall return unto Yahweh, your Yahweh, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you this day, you and your children, with all your mind and with all your soul. Verse 3. That then the Yahweh, your Yahweh, will turn your captivity and have compassion upon you, and will return and gather you from all the 17 nations, whether the Yahweh, your Yahweh, has scattered you. Verse 4. if any of you be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from there will the Yahweh, your Yahweh, gather you, and from there will he fetch you. Verse 5. And the Yahweh, your Yahweh, will bring you into the land which your father possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do you good, and multiply you above your fathers. Verse 6. And the Yahweh, your Yahweh, will circumcise your mind, and the mind of your seed, to love the Yahweh, your Yahweh, with all your mind, and with all your soul, that you may live. Verse 7. And the Yahweh, your Yahweh, will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate you, which persecuted you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So we find out that Yahweh is telling Enoch, you will not taste death. You will be in paradise on earth. And a time appointed, when I leave, you will be with me. When you see me put this whooping on, you will bear witness to the precept. That's all he's saying. So the Enoch will be bear witness to the beatdown that's going to be put on the children of Israel and the world. And he's going to beat you up because you're going to rise that government name all the way. You can rile that government name all the way. He might catch you down with that government name in your mouth. And you can ride with that government name. He tell you that government name is only for you cashing your checks and putting your card in the ATM and all that stuff. That's as far as it goes. But somebody asks, hey, who are you? Well, tell them your name that the blessing upon them with the name of Israel at the end of it. That's how you folks talk. You know. Because you can't get no permission. You're not going to do right. And Luke chapter 12, he tell you in 2021, you better have something right. He told Luke to put it in writing. In Luke 12, 20 and 21 there, young line, what did he say that we can read in Luke 12, verse 20 and 21?
Chapter 12, verse 20 and verse 21. Verse 20 reads, but Yahweh said unto him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be? Then who shall those things be which you hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards Yahweh.
Uh-huh. What is he saying? So what is he saying? Listen, I know a lot of us think, well, when I retire, I won't do this, I won't do that. He said, yeah, that sounds all good. But make sure you rich in your mighty one, Yahweh. Make sure you got him up front. Be rich with him. And he tell you plainly about the Christians and anybody else. He makes it plain with you. So you got to make a decision according to his Bible in 2 Corinthians 6, 14-18. Listen to what he says. See, remember, well, I won't just go and do my 30, 40 years on my job. I'm gonna retire and go into business and do all this, might do this, might do that. Okay, you can do all that. But make sure you're rich in Yahweh. Because he's telling you something plainly in 2 Corinthians 6:14 down to verse 18. Listen to what he's saying that we can read all together. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. What does it say that young line? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 there, young line. And we're going to pick up at verse number 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6. 14 to 18. What
did
it say that young lion? Come on.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14 down to verse 18. Verse 14 reads, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
And what chameleon have light with darkness? Verse 15. And what concord hath Yahweh the Son with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of Yahweh with idols? For you are the temple of the living Yahweh. As Yahweh hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be separated, says Yahweh, and touch not unclean things, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my son and daughter, says the Yahweh Almighty.
Mm-hmm. So you see what he's saying? He said, don't be equally yoked with unbelievers. See, a lot of times we want to do a lot of things with those of our homeboys, homegirls. But I'm telling you something. According to Yahweh, that I'm scared of a Christian. I'm scared of a Muslim. I'm scared of anything that's outside of thus says Yahweh. It makes me nervous. Tell you not. Because what gonna check you? You ain't got nothing to check you. Everything else is up under Satan the devil. Christian, Islam, Judaism is set up by Satan the devil. I'm scared of anybody says that. But when they say they lay up under some Yahweh, that makes me happy. So one thing about it, because you ain't gonna never see eye to eye, because Yahweh told you that in Genesis. He said those that's not up under Yahweh, he's never gonna see eye to eye. There always going to be something happen because you're up under, not up under Yahweh. So I make me nervous when you're not up under Yahweh. I watch you. Yeah, I know you can do something to do anything. Why? What's going to check you? You ain't got no Yahweh. Well, we're going to leave that where it's at. Now, I'm listening to the WCC saying, see, you know, you left off on that Peter, and you going to go back to that again? We'll go back to that WCC, World Council of Churches. We'll go back to that. My thing, let's go back to that anyway. Thank you for reminding me of that WCC. Go back to that. Let's go back to that where we left off. We read 1 and 2. I want to just be quiet to understand that we got to understand, you know, see, the game changer will be get out your feelings to help others. So how you going to be able to govern these young couples coming up if you all in your feelings? You have to know to tell them, you know, to get your James 5:20s. You can't tell them to look at your walk, because your walk, you was contrary to the Bible. You did things because of best, it's best for my feelings. No, don't do that. Don't tell them that. Tell them, listen, let's see what the Bible say. When a couple come before you, they won't sit down with you, especially if you're one of the six anointed camps now. Couples come, sit down, you got to show them some book first. Let's see what it says over here. Now, we read 1. Did we read 2? Pick up verse 2 again. 1 Peter 2, or 3, 2, and we'll read down. I hope I can just be quiet all the way down to verse 11. What does it say? Well, say that, young man. We're gonna pick it up at 1 Peter 3. Probably I can just be quiet. Maybe I put some hot tea in me and look at 2 down to verse 11. What it say at? Verse 2 down to verse 11. See, it's gonna be quiet. Hopefully, come on.
Okay, we're gonna try to read. We're gonna read First Peter chapter 3, verse 2 down to verse number 11. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 2. Verse 2 read. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 3. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of flattening the hair, and wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. Verse 4. For let it be the hidden man of the mind, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yahweh of great Christ. Verse 5.
Hold that
for
Paul. Hold that.
Hallelujah.
He's telling you something. He's sitting there with the couples and they're coming in. And then he said, listen, when the couples come in and sit down before you, he's saying the female must be meek and have a quiet spirit. She can't have her mouth, you know, clapping. She got to be of a meek and quiet spirit. That's the first thing that you got to show, according to Yahweh's word, that the woman got to have a meek and quiet spirit. Now, what's the opposite of that? Let's see what the opposite of meek and quiet spirit. Now, if this is what you're working with, then you got to understand something. In Proverbs 7, verse 1, 10, 11, 26, 27, what you capable of, you remember last night lesson when the woman say, is she thinner than me? Is she younger than me? Why can it be me? Because you got a big mouth, woman. Your big, fat mouth. You don't fight me. That's what you say, right?
Last
night lesson. So, listen. When you're sitting there trying to govern the couple, and first of all, you got to notice that the woman got a big, fat mouth. You got to say, hey, do your boss sit down there. That's the order of things. But if she throw around her big, fat mouth, then you understand that if nothing we can do for you, you might go on City Hall somewhere. We can't get you right. Go on down to City Hall. Go on down. You trying to bump checking him and telling him, like the man said in the last night on the, he said, you call me stupid. You call me name. You tell me sit down in the corner somewhere. And it's, she treat me, she do what I like. You ain't like it. Because she's skinny to me. She ain't got a pen. It's a order of Yahweh. He tell us we got to teach the order of Yahweh. So you better have to recognize the Bible and apply the Bible. Now, Proverbs 7, verse 1, 10, 11. Don't correct for you with your mate. Let's see what. Have a quiet spirit. Bible. Good. We go on to Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, 11, 27, 28.
The book of Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, 10, 11, 26, and 27. The book of Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 reads, my son, keep my words and lay up my laws with you. Verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of mind. Verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Verse 26. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
Hey, that's something. You hear what he said? Mm-hmm. He said about a big mouth woman. What did he say about a big mouth woman again in verse? What's the sign of a big mouth woman? There go your end of it. So if you got you one of these old big mouth women, you understand that, you know, they come in and we want to get together, and here goes big mouth woman got a mouth going. You see what Solomon wrote in verse 10 and 11? Read again. 10 and 11.
Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10 and verse number 11. Verse 10 reads, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of mind. Verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house.
That would mean she didn't have on Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, in 11. That's all it means. What's the tie of a harlot? Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 and 12. Israel. That's all she didn't have on this. 22, verse 5, and 12. Let's break it down in layman's terms. Deuteronomy 22, 5, and 12. What does it say?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 5 and verse number 12. Verse 5 reads, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto Yahuwah, your Yahuwah. Verse 12, you shall make you fringes upon the borders of your vesture, wherewith you covers yourself.
You see, there it is right there. Because it was already told in Numbers chapter 15, 37, down to verse 40. See, I mean, just precept your Bible. The tab of harlots, you read what Yahweh requires, well, you know, okay, suppose you got a job where you got to wear pants. Suppose you chase demons around it and have to put them in a kung fu grip. Okay, fine. With your job over, you know what you do? Go into your locker room and you take down your dress, put your dress on, and put that in there and go about your business. I mean, your job is over with. They like your name. You gotta have your government name too. They said, what's that name on? What's the name you got on your shirt? Oh, it's my government name. Okay, good. Okay, I'll report you in or something. You say, okay, good. But once that's over with, put that to the side and put on what Yahweh said or is that is a commandment in Numbers chapter 15, 37 to 40. What did it say?
The book of Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 down to verse number 40. Verse 37 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, speak it that they make them, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. 39, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the laws of Yahweh, and do them. And that you seek not after your own mind and your own eye, after which you used to go a whore. Verse 4. And that you may remember and do them, and do all my laws, and be righteous unto your Yahweh. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm. So you see what he's saying? So that's what we got to do. We got to, when we watch them, the couples come in, we got to say, well, you know, if you about this Yahweh, immediately you got to either learn how to sew, or you know how to sew, or find somebody to do how to sew, and put some fringes in your clothing, because you want the blessing of Yahweh. Because in Exodus 12:49 says what? What do Exodus 12:49 say that we can read?
All right. We're going over there to the book of Exodus. We're going to pick it up in chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 49. The book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 49 reads, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the strangers that sojourneth among you.
One way. See, we can't follow strangers. Strangers got to follow us. One way. 13, Exodus 13, verse 9, 21 and 22. One way. One way. So if you want the blessing of Yahweh, you got to follow this man. You're able to get your paycheck, right? Don't you do what the man tell you to get your paycheck? Okay. This is for your internal life. Exodus 13, verse 9, 21 and 22 says what?
Exodus 13, verse 9, 21 and 22. Verse 9 reads, and it shall be for a sign unto you upon your hand, and for a memorial between your eyes, that the Yahuwah's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Yahuwah brought you out of Egypt. Verse 21, and the Yahuwah went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people.
See, he was watching you. Give me Judges 2, verse 20. See, he was watching you, children. He was peeping at you. He gave you the dress code, and he was watching you. He would make sure you put them branches on. God his eyes on you, children of Israel. He got his eyes on you now. Judges chapter 2, verse 20.
The book of Judges, chapter 20, verse number 20. Verse 20 reads, and the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their father, and have not hearkened unto my voice.
You see what he's saying? These people just, they won't do it. And they won't listen to my voice. Well, I ain't never heard his voice. Oh, really? Go to Acts 13, 26, and 27. Oh, really? You never heard of Yahweh's voice, huh? I ain't never heard him say nothing to me. No. Oh, really? Let's precept this and see, well, what do he do? Acts 13, 26, 27.
We're going over there to the book of Acts, chapter 13. We're going to pick it up at verse 26 and verse 27. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 23. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth Yahweh, to you is the word of this salvation sent. 27. And they that dwelled at Yada Judah and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the seers, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him.
You see, and you don't pay the seer no never mind. The voice of the seer is speaking from the mouth of Yahweh, because he made it plain to prove that point in 1 verse 70. Do you know, when you hear the seer run his, open his mouth, do you know what's written in Luke 1 verse number 70? Do you know what's written? Take a look at what's written that we can read in 1 verse 7 of Luke. It's written. What does it say?
The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse number 7. Verse 70 reads, as he spake by the mouth of his righteous seer, which hath been since the world began.
Yahweh speak by his seer. That's how he speak. That's how he speak today. He speak to the seer. And then the seer failed and tell him what he said. That's how he rolled today. What you mean? What you mean? What do you mean? New York? Okay, let's give a precept. 320. Give me 320 of the book called Acts. Captain out of New York said, seer, I need a precept on that. Okay, let's get a precept on that. 3:18-20. Precept. Acts 3:18-20. Let's get another precept. Come on.
Okay, we're going over there to the book of Acts. We're on chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 18 and verse number 20. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 18 reads, but those things which Yahweh before had showed by the mouth of all his seers, that Yahweh the Son should suffer, he had so fulfilled. Verse number 20. And he shall send Yahweh the Son, which before was taught unto you.
See, Yahweh spoke by the mouth of all of his seers since the world began. That's how he operates. So he don't have nothing. Only one has something to say to Pope. If we get ready to read, who got something to say to Pope? What about the Pope in the Battle of Good City? Yeah, him. We're going to read it right now. First book of Enoch. Now this one speaks to the Vatican City, the head of the Catholic Church. We're going to read now who speaks to him. We're going to read right now. We're going to 26th chapter, the third book of Enoch, verse 12. 26:12. Now, you want to know who speak to the Vatican City to poke around? We better read, but is that Enoch K who speak to him? Come on. Verse 12.
Okay. We're going over there to the third book of Enoch, chapter 26, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 12. The third book of Enoch, chapter 26, verse number 12 reads, why are they called seraphim? Because they burn the writing tables of Satan. Every day Satan sits together with Samael, the prince of Rome, and with
Every day Satan visits the Pope of Rome. That was a prince mean. The prince of Rome. Every day Satan come down and sit with the Pope of Rome. Every day. He don't skip no days. He go all the way. Every day. Enoch wrote the third, the seventh of heaven, that the Pope gonna come down and sit with the Pope. Enoch wrote that Satan gonna come down and talk with the Pope of Rome. How many days?
Every day.
Every day. And what is he gonna say? Keep reading what he gonna say.
And with Dubail, the prince of Persia. And they write down the sins of Israel on their writing tables, which they hand over to seraphim, so that the seraphim can present them to the righteous one, blessed be he, so that he should eliminate, destroy Israel from the world. But
that's it. That's good enough. Yeah, go ahead.
But the seraphim know the secrets of the righteous one. Blessed be he. They know that he does not want the people of Israel to perish. What do the seraphim do about this? Every day they receive the tablets from the hand of Satan, and they burn them in the burning fire, which is near the high and exalted throne. They do this in order that the tablet should not come before the righteous one, blessed be he, when he is sitting upon the throne of judgment, judging the entire world in truth.
He told Satan, you can't come back up with me no more. I'm going to have a little angel there to grab your garbage. And then your garbage that you think you will put on six anointed camps, I ain't hearing it no way. The middle spirit said, look at, all right, say, what you got? What you got from the Pope? What the six anointed camps doing? Oh, they're hollering about some yahuas, some fringes, and all that stuff. And they talking a lot of, and we ain't got nothing to combat them with the book open. So what we going to do? Well, we working on something now. We know we're going to have one of our men do. That's going to come up with a virus in 2025, right? Now, how do you know that? The same way the media Rogers know about the weather 1 month from the day, he said. You know the weather going to be. Not only that, they knew exactly how much it take to go to the moon and what to do. Now they got. Who you think teaching them all that? Now you can touch your phone, and you can shoot a bullet, and it stop and turn the corner and find you. You under the bed, it's out of the bed, and go up under the bed and pop you in the backside. See? Who you think? You think he that smart? Unless somebody working with him, Satan the devil. How he tell you all the stuff he been doing? Huh? You got a got GPS, you ask them, whatever you got on your phone, you can be anywhere. It tracks you now, everything, don't it? Where do you think you get all this information from? They get it from Satan the devil. Satan is getting, that's enough of that. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs, give me 21, verse 9 and 19, then we just think we're going to wrap this up over there in First Peter. See, Satan is doing his job. It's just you're not doing yours. Let's see what he's telling you about this couple stuff again. Proverbs 21, verse 9 and 19. Listen, she might be the breadwinner. But Solomon wrote this right here. This is what he said. And
read,
21,
read
verse 19. What did it say? 21, verse 9 and 19.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 9, verse 19. Verse 9 reads, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawny woman and in a wide house. Verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman.
You see what he's saying? So if you ain't, it's better you be in the shelter. I'm not going to be in the shelter. You say you're better off in the shelter out there in the street. If you come and you remember what we heard off the Alvin last night when the woman said, is she skinny than me? Is she younger than me? What could it be me? He said, because you got a big mouth, woman. You got a big mouth, and you all lazy, shiftless, and everything. That's why.
I have
to say, I should have talked with the boss number two is right to find out who I got in, what kind of person I'm supposed to have. I should have never done the 724 St. John. I made my mistake by doing the 724 St. John. What is that?
We're going over there to the book of St. John, chapter 7. We're going to pick it up at verse number 24. The book of St. John, let me get there. Chapter 7. Let me pick it up at verse number 24. 24 reads, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
You see, and that's what we do. We make a decision on appearance. We never make a decision according to righteousness. You just made a decision just to get off in something, and all you got in common is 1.5 minutes between the sheets, and after that, then what? Then mm-hmm. what?
You look prettier than me, then why couldn't it just be me?
But she's softer than you. She's quieter than you. She's smarter than me. Call me an idiot or tell me to shut up all the time. She listens to me. She's nice to me. She doesn't let me.
She's better than me?
You have a lot in common.
So she's not younger than me, she's not skinnier than me, and she's not prettier than me. Then why couldn't it just be me?
But she's softer than you. She's quieter than you. She doesn't yell at me. She doesn't call me an idiot or tell me to shut up all the time. She listens. She's nice to me. She doesn't let me.
Is she better than me?
You have a lot in common.
So she's not younger than me, she's not skinnier than me, and she's not prettier than me. Then why couldn't it just be me?
So she's softer than you. She doesn't yell at me. She doesn't call me an idiot or tell me to shut up all the time. She listens to me. She's nice to me. She doesn't let me.
Is she better than me? Is she better than me?
You have a lot in common.
So she's not younger than me, she's not skinnier than me, and she's not prettier than me. Then why couldn't it just be me?
So she's softer than you. She's quieter than you. She doesn't yell at me. She doesn't call me an idiot or tell me to shut up all the time.
So you see,
hallelujah.
See, we have to watch that spirit when it come in all happy. But, you know, we plan on being together up the road. I said, okay, well, we gotta run through and see if the protocol there, or if you don't want to hear us out, You might have gone down to Satan's that place, Secretary of State, what do you call it? What do you call that place down there?
City Hall.
The mayor's license from the name. City Hall. Yeah. You get on down and we'll go down and we'll say that. Get on down there and put that ring on your finger because she bump testing you and telling you to shut up. So, see you like it is. But see, we're going to show what the Bible's saying. If you got time to hear the Bible, now it's here in the closing statement. Give me, going back to first chapter 1, pick up at verse 5 down to verse 9. And a closing statement. I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna put some juice in my mouth. And remember, the class is tomorrow at 7:30 on the network. We're set 5 out of verse 11. The closing statement, there, young line. Go ahead.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 5 down to verse 11. Verse 5 reads: "For after this manner in the old time, the righteous women also who trusted in Yahweh adored the stair, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Verse 6: "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Yahweh, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Verse 7, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel in the body, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Verse 8, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love as brothers, be pitiful, be courteous." Verse 9, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessed, knowing that you are there unto call, that you should inherit a blessing." Verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." Verse 11, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and assure it." All right.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, y'all. Now, we leave it like that. Closing statement, take your time. See, because see, you can hinder your prayers. If you're not tied together in Yahweh, you hinder your prayers. See? We leave it like that. Remember, tomorrow at 7:30, young line, all yours. Closing statement, go, come on. Take your time. Got plenty of time. Come on.
Thanking Yahweh for another blessed day to read his word. Thanking Yahweh for blessing me to meet the spirit, Israel of Seed Roy, to be able to learn the word of Yahweh. I want to thank Yahweh also for my wife and children that have given me to teach the word of Yahweh. I also want to thank Yahweh for our elders, our mothers, all the brothers and sisters, all the teachers in the six anointed camps. And thanking Yahweh for preparing, choosing Voices of the True Israel, like to bring these 12 tribes of Israel back together with the leader of Israel, the Seed Roy. I want to read that Psalms 119, verse number 111. Book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse number 111. "Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my mind." Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. Hallelujah,
Yahweh. He's a prayer to me. Then why couldn't it just be me?
She's softer than you. She's quieter than you. She won't yell at me. She doesn't call me an idiot or tell me to shut up all the time. She listens to me. She's nice to me. She doesn't let me.
She's better than me?
You haven't let any.